Hello, and welcome to the ROH Review. I am three-time pro wrestling author Oliver Newman.
And I'm pro wrestling journalist Stephen Jackson.
Hey, always got to add that part. How you doing, Stephen?
Yeah, doing really good. The viewers will probably be able to see, and but those who are listening to us can't, but I've got a new webcam, so I should be a bit clearer now to all the people, not breaking the screens like I'm underwater in a submarine. Had another haircut as well, decided I needed to spruce up for this new camera. But yeah, feeling good. Yeah, how about yourself?
Yeah, just like I said, clear as day. It's amazing. Look, when we've talked about like audio and video issues and stuff, I think possibly it could have been thrown at us video, and that was because it was a little bit, you know, but moving from your computer to your phone caused audio issues, so we had to get you back to your computer. So yeah, no, I appreciate you getting the webcam, and yeah, everyone's looking clear and in HD, so it's all good. For myself, yeah, just good to go. Huge week ahead of us. ROH review tonight. The ROH reviewing Bound by Honor and Gateway. Yeah. Bound by Honor and Gateway to Honor, and that'll probably be tomorrow night for Wednesday and Thursday of this week, and then to preview the 18th anniversary show, and the one that we're most looking forward to, past versus present, has probably got to be done this week as well. Yeah. For next week, and then for the end of this week, as a little teaser for anyone out there, I had the absolute pleasure and honor of interviewing one of my favorite Ring of Honor wrestlers of all time, behind Paul London and CM Punk, one-time pure wrestling champion and the second longest champion in history so far, Hurricane John Walters. And yeah, that was really cool. I interviewed him in written form in 2008, so 12 years later, and we're doing a podcast, and it was really cool, and I can't wait to see him. And it's a great segue, Stephen, because I believe the guy he's wrestling against is your superstar spotlight tonight.
It is. What a segue.
Because we're not superstars in Ring of Honor. Okay, so yeah, as I alluded to, Stephen's star spotlight is Overkill Mark Haskins, or as he's been called lately, the preacher's son, Mark Haskins. So over to you, Stephen. Get these 5 minutes on the clock. Go.
So Mark Haskins, British born, UK native, debuted for Ring of Honor back in 2017 in England at Liverpool, where you saw Brian Danielson and Nigel McGuinness at the Olympia against Silas Young for the War of the Worlds tour. And then from there, he had several matches in the UK when Ring of Honor would come back, but his actual official debut as a member of the Ring of Honor roster was in 2018, so a year later, with Nick Aldis, the current NWA World Champion, against the Briscoes up in Edinburgh. And then from there, throughout 2019, he's been a member of the Lifeblood, which originally was himself, Tracy Williams, Bandido, Juice Robinson, David Finlay, so Dave Finlay's son, and PJ Black. So they all joined Ring of Honor together and formed a group, which Mark Haskins was one of the figure leaders for, or still is.
Tennille Dashwood was part of that as well, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. Yeah, I missed her off. So yeah, so that's another one to add in there. Yeah, bloopers again, another one. So from there, Mark Haskins kind of became one of the figureheads of the of the stable in the promotion. And throughout last year, we haven't been covering the show for that long, but throughout last year, they had some great tag team matches with Mark Haskins as one of the partners, against the Briscoes, against Shane Taylor and Taylor Promotions, And they had a great he had a great match against Jeff Cobb, and he had a great match against Marty Scurll, which I would ask people to check out. They're both on the Honor Club. Great nice. Shows. Yeah. We both have subscriptions for Fight TV. You can find on Fight TV as
Fight
well.
Fight TV, yeah.
And yeah, just from what we've seen of him in the company recently, from reviewing the shows, we just said off air, fantastic all around wrestler, can work brilliantly.
Again, you're a thief.
It's in my notes. It's in
you're
my notes.
A thief.
It's there in the notes before people ask.
I can't see your notes.
Before we get the hate mail. Before I get the hate mail.
Oh, to Steej215.
Yeah, but we weren't going to mention personal Twitter tags.
Well, when it comes to hate mail, make sure everything's sent your way.
So just the incredible wrestler, great promos. He has been having this great feud, what we've been following for the past few weeks as well, with Tracy Williams. Great tag matches as well with Tracy Williams. And he had that great, although I'm not a fan of Bully Ray, he had a pretty decent feud with Bully Ray as well. And although I'm not a fan of him, the match they had at Final Battle was great as well. Great hardcore match. He can just do it all. He's just such a great wrestler. I mean, we've seen that in the UK from seeing him on the independent scene, but then seeing him in Ring of Honor, it's just such a great privilege to see someone who you follow for a long time on the independent scene doing so well. And yeah, I mean, the other main thing with him as well is that while the Ring of Honor show was actually on the UK Fight Network UK, it was the sort of main focal point of the marketing for the actual Ring of Honor show here in the UK. Okay. So for a lot of the people who have fallen out of love or not seen Ring of Honor, he was kind of the first person you would see.
Okay.
I think that was a really good thing as well, that they had a British wrestler as one of the staples.
Yeah.
For the marketing. But yeah, just a great, great wrestler. 2020 is looking like a great year for him. He's had a great year. 2019 was fantastic for him. 2018 and 17 were great too. If you go back and have a look at his matches, there are several on YouTube as well for free. So yeah, and just great to see someone who can kind of is a successor to Nigel McGuinness, you know, the British-born, hopeful world champion one day, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's all I can say about Mark Haskins in the time I have. If there's anything you want to add, Oliver, if there's any time left, then feel free.
Yeah, it's like 45 seconds because you stole what I was going to say. yeah, from what I saw of him in the UK scene when I was writing about the UK scene, he was like a hybrid wrestler. And now we're kind of seeing that in Ring of Honor, like you said, with the Bully Ray feud, that was a blood feud, fighting. And then he's had, you know, two technical masterpieces, especially the one we're going to talk about tonight. See, another segue. I'm good at this stuff. yeah, and that's where I came up with the thing that I said off there. We have 3 seconds to go. You'll never know. the thing that I said off there, I think, of the people that we've watched since November 2019, I think he's the most well-rounded wrestler in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
I'm sure he could do lucha. I've seen him high fly. He can technical wrestle. He can brawl. He can talk. He can do it all. Yeah. Okay. So moving swiftly on to the news. Let's just check the old trusty ROH app. And I possibly would have left this to the links and plugs, but I want to give a big shout out to Fight TV. And should we say the person's name in particular or just Fight TV, Steve?
I think we just thank the whole team at Fight TV because it's a team effort from them all. Yeah.
Yeah, they gave us a free code giveaway for the ROH double shot, Bound by Honor and Gateway 2 on this past weekend. And it was really cool making somebody's, you know, weekend, two shows for free. And we couldn't have done that without, Stephen's work behind the scenes and then Fight TV working with us. And if you are watching this video, then we absolutely want to continue working with you. You've been amazing. And from the main podcast's perspective, anything that needs promoting wrestling-wise, please send it our way. So, we have an email, Stephen, from the person you contacted.
Yeah.
Just checking the ROH app. Just news-wise. Yeah, okay. So, no breaking news tonight. I know everyone's gutted about that. But the news we have from last week is the pure title participants. So, first of all, one-time ROH pure champion Doug Williams. We have Jonathan Gresham, Stephen's favourite wrestler, who's not Bandido. So we haven't got enough time to go through all your favourite wrestlers, Stephen. Alex Shelley as well. Rocky Romero. That guy again, Mark Haskins. Slex and Mark Haskins' partner in Lifeblood, Tracy Williams. I don't see those two being drawn against each other in this tournament at all. the women's title as well, participants have been announced. So, Sumi Sakai, Kellyanne from Australia, professional wrestler. Do you know much about Kellyanne? Because you knew a bit about Slex and a bit about Adam.
I've heard her in passing. I don't know if I've seen full matches. I may have seen highlights. But I am excited to definitely see her. After what we've been seeing with Women of Honor lately and the matches we've watched, I'm really looking forward to seeing her coming into the company.
Yeah. Angelina Love. Nicole Savoy. Katrina. Jenny Rose. Session Moth Martina. And the lady that's been announced today, Tasha Steeles. Do you know much about Tasha at all, Stephen?
Again, I've seen some bits of her work. I haven't seen a lot. But yeah, she's someone I'm really excited to see. Again, someone I'm really excited to see more of in the company.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've seen a little bit more of Tasha Steeles. So yeah, that's a really exciting acquisition. So really excited.
And then something that we were a little bit hesitant about, but the way 2020 has started for ROH, maybe, just maybe, this will work. Ring of Honor and New Japan are teaming up again for the War of the Worlds tour, May 6th, 7th, 9th, and 10th. We're okay with this, aren't we now?
Yeah, I think it's going to be definitely an interesting set of shows. I feel that Ring of Honor have really brought their game again and can really bring it to the New Japan stars, in that I don't feel there's a differentiation between New Japan up here and sort of Ring of Honor down here. I feel that we are on more of an even keel, and there's a lot of great stars from both promotions I really want to see face off against each other, in tag matches and in singles matches. So
I think the most important thing is, come the end of this tour, Ring of Honor has to look strong.
Yeah.
Because you can't be relying on New Japan if they look stronger than Ring of Honor, because you've got 4 days to do this.
Yeah.
Excuse me. It's got to work for both brands. And it's got to... New Japan want the help in America, and Ring of Honor want the help in Japan, I would imagine. Yeah. So... it's a perfect kind of marriage of two brilliant companies. Next up, we have our Future of Honor match. I'm just going to get the clock. This match is between number one, Brian Johnson. He's since changed to the Mecca. And Dante Caballero.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Yeah.
I kept saying Calavero in my Calabero, but no, you're right, Caballero. Can't get it mixed up.
Yeah. So 5 minutes on the clock, and this is what I had on this match. Love the fact that it was on location at ROH Dojo. I thought that was brilliant. Yeah, I'm glad that I'm speaking this before you, because, yeah, that would have happened again. So number one, Brian Johnson, because I said this off air, and if Stephen goes first, he would have said it on air, and then we have the same issues that we had before. So, yeah, off air, I said that Brian Johnson reminds me of stunning Steve Austin. His character in this match and with the hairstyle and stuff, very much stunning Steve in WCW. Now, currently, what you see in Ring of Honor is pissed off Steve Austin in ECW. And he has that potential to break through to the top of Ring of Honor and beyond. He is that good. And that's how highly we think about him. And it kind of clicked with me last night when I was watching this match that that's how good he is. So once he went down with an injury, I was like, I've seen too much Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho to know this is faked. So, yeah, faked injury. I love the way he kicked away his knee and then his face landed on his other knee. That was tremendous. Cracked heads. Another great thing as well, because we like women being involved in wrestling in general. The referee was Becky Phillips. And she did a great job. And, yeah, cheap tactics leads to a Johnson win. And the other ROH Dojo wrestlers are around the ring. So I saw Tyler Bateman. That's one of the guys. I think I saw LSG as well. And I loved with Brian Johnson, he got out the ring on the side where none of the wrestlers were at the end of the match. So, yeah, this... The presentation was fantastic. The wrestling was good. Brian Johnson's character was good then, but I'm glad he got rid of the robe and he's shaved his head and he's gone intense Brian Johnson now. That's a better character than this number one. Caballero brought it as well. Joe Dombrowski on commentary. You like before, he's been with like a color commentator and stuff. He doesn't need one. He was fantastic with the play-by-play. And, yeah, loved it. Even if they keep the... Like, I can understand wrestling in front of a crowd and stuff, but so unique to be wrestling in a dojo. And then to any prospective wrestler who wants to come and train, you're going to be on national TV in this dojo. That's brilliant. So, yeah, love this. As a concept, this was great. So, taking up a lot of the 5 minutes there, Stephen, you got a minute and 45. Well, you would have stole my ideas, so I had to get.
I'm
about
to say everything I was going to say, you've said this time. So you've stolen my ideas.
You said this off there. No.
Yeah, we're carrying the same, the same thoughts. Love the dojo presentation. Love the fact that the dojo has its own ring skirt and its own turnbuckle pads as well. I really like that. That it's an actual, I like that. That it looks completely like a dojo set as well. I like that. Yeah. I like the little pre-match interviews as well, which they both did. I think they're both great pre-interview, great presentation of them.
Yeah,
Dante really impressed me as well because of his, I like his throwback to sort of the 90s with his bright singlet and, his sort of charisma. I thought it was something which, a bit like Anthony Green, if anyone's watched Evolve, the 80s throwback wrestler and a bit like the Joey Janela style. I quite like that so I thought that worked. Brian Johnson.
Swinger in Impact Wrestling as well, Johnny Swinger.
Yeah. That kind of style was great. Brian Johnson, as we've said many a time, can see the potential in him. Absolutely, just there. I thought the Falcon Arrow, which Dante Caballero gave to Brian Johnson, was great as well. I thought that was a really nice, really well wrestled match. Really good fun.
Definitely.
Neither guy looked green. They both looked really good. Mm-hmm. Like this was a match which, if it was in front of a hot crowd, would have got a good response.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that the wrestlers outside the ring were getting involved as well. So you saw them clapping their hands when they were thinking that just to finish when they thought that the Hamda was going to go down for the chokeout and things. I really liked that they were interacting. You know, I thought that was really good. And as you said, just to finish, Joe Dombrowski, great on commentary. Yeah, I think that this as a sort of, you know, Future of Honor, this felt really unique and really fun. The other matches in Future of Honor, what we've watched, have been as well. But I think it added the fact that this was in the dojo and the presentation added to it. It definitely gave it something unique. And go out your way and watch this match. It's there for free. Great wrestling. Enjoy it. That's all I can say.
Like I said, I just think maybe do all the matches for Future of Honor in the dojo.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of like maybe like little tournaments and stuff. And if you win the tournament, you're on a dark match on the Ring of Honor, and then you're on the main show. So there's so much you can do. And I'd even do the Women of Honor matches, you know, in a similar setting.
Yeah.
I think that would work as well. So, you know, not that then from the matches we've seen, but just now love the on location stuff. I thought that was incredible. So then going into the show itself, we had a Slex video package, Business is Booming. Quinn McKay flying solo and Ian Riccoboni brought it to our attention. This is the first time a female has single-handedly hosted a professional wrestling show. So congratulations to Quinn for that. And then I'll bring you in match-wise and stuff. First up was Mark Haskins versus Alex Shelley. And I'm not sure what I said at the time because I was watching this. Although you couldn't watch it because of weather conditions and stuff, but this was earlier. I think I might have downplayed this. This, on second viewing, is absolutely awesome. Like, in terms of our best of matches since November 2019, this is probably only second to Shelley versus Gresham 1. You know, it started off from a technical aspect, and then Shelley like pulled the hair, didn't they? When he got a bit frustrated, and then like the work on the wrist and just everything, and then like even and I don't think we even said this on Free Enterprise, but the transition into the sharpshooter was pretty incredible. I must have missed it at the time, saw the sharpshooter, and then obviously the arm submission as well. As I've said, and I said Stephen off there, if we ever make T-shirts, then I would be waxy lyrical about this match with my face on it. So it's an incredible match. And this is part of the reason why off air again, I said that Mark Haskins is one of the best and most rounded wrestlers in Ring of Honor because he can fight, he can wrestle. Technical, he can wrestle submission, he can fly, he can do it all. So what did you make of this match, Stephen?
Equine, exactly. I keep saying Equine, but Equine yourself, fantastic technical wrestling. It just felt, for me, it was a great throwback to one of the series of matches that got me into wrestling was the Cruiserweights in WCW, but it was actually Dean Malenko and Chris Jericho when they used to go at it. It was very similar to that where you would have the interesting transitions, you would have the... It was catch as can, but it had a twist to it as well. It had kind of more of a hybrid sort of lucha style to it, a mixture. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that transition into the sharpshooter and the actual sharpshooter itself was just brilliant. It was that Bret Hart really wrenching on the back. It looked it looked brutal, like a proper shoot style submission. It just felt brutal.
Yeah.
And the crowd were into it. I don't know how, and it really added to it. And I thought it was a great show on a, it was a great match on a live show, but it was also a great match for a TV show as well. Matched both. Yeah. Sometimes what happens is you can watch a match on a live show and it doesn't actually transition well to TV, but this was both.
Yeah.
So I feel like you said, with a second viewing, you appreciate this even more than just watching it on a live show. So yeah, absolutely fantastic. Thought it was Alex Shelley and Mark Haskins are two of the best guys in the, I believe, in the world. Yeah. And that's a bold statement, but I believe that. And this is a reason why. Just watch this and you'll see.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, over the past weekend as well, and we'll probably go into this more on the review of Bound by Honor and Gateway to Honor. Alex Shelley is one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Period.
And like I said, from the wrist perspective, he had an injured wrist, so he couldn't put on certain moves. It's like, yeah. That's just right up my alley. I love psychology and I love technical wrestling, and this match had everything. It was brilliant. So next up is Vincent Vignette, which is like the gates of the kingdom have closed. Brilliant again in establishing his character. And just a really, really cool vignette. Because when I was watching like the throwback matches, and it like throwback to a match with Mike Bennett.
Yeah,
was it Matt Taven? Was Matt Taven with Mike Bennett at one point?
Yeah, they were Maria? in the Kingdom.
Yeah. That was not my time, but that's what the match kind of landed on. So, yeah, Vincent, probably on point, because if you've helped somebody get somewhere and you're not being rewarded for it, you're going to probably lash out, aren't you?
Yeah.
That was on point. The castle, the Dalton Party Peak up Dalton Castle, and prestigious one, Joe Hendry. Promo backstage was about being unpredictable and stuff, and Dawn Castle goes on like you said, he's like a comedian that's a wrestler, in terms of his character. He's fantastic. And Joe, it's kind of like CM Punk and Colt Cabana, and Joe Hendry's trying to be the straight CM Punk, and Dalton Castle's like Colt Cabana, and back in the day, Punk's like, shut up, Cabana.
Yeah.
And he's feuding with Raven and stuff. So that was so funny. And then the Mark Haskins promo, you want to go after the singles gold in ROH. And then he kind of dawns on him that he said this. But yeah, I want to do it with my buddy. And then Tracy Williams is like, Yeah, Mark. Yeah. So dissension there. And then the next match is Dalton Castle and Joe Hendry against Vincent and Bateman. I just had this as a good tag team match, both on the live Free Enterprise. I think this was a good showcase for Vincent and Bateman as a unit and a team and as a stable with Vita Von Starr and Chuck Halls as well. I think this was a really good showcase for them. What did you make of it, Stephen?
Yeah, it was a good showcase for getting over Bateman and Vincent, definitely. And I think one of the other things as well is that Joe Hendry and Dalton Castle, they were able to do that without kind of being buried. And I know this is like getting into really kind of like those sort of terminology and all that, but you don't want someone to come in strong and then end up killing off a team which is really established team.
Yeah.
And but no, I felt this was definitely a really good showcase for them. Bateman, as we said at the time, really showed what he can do, because we hadn't had a chance to see that fully. And Vincent, like you said, as the puppet master, is a really good character for him. A really good showcase match for the team. And I really liked the ending as well, where they were huddling round. I like the Joe Hendry Dalton Castle dynamic, where they don't want to get on, but they have to get on. It's like, I don't want to have you back, but I've got your back. So yeah. I like that. I actually think it's one of the most unique
dynamics
with a tag team I think I've seen in a long time, and I think it really is refreshing between the two of them. So very layered, but very fun.
And next up was the Slex promo once again with Quinn McKay backstage. So there's a lot of work, Quinn McKay. I think she only gets one wage, but she probably should get more than that. but yeah, I think I would have had this promo on Free Enterprise because he kind of came out and we know like business is booming, but maybe it would have got him more traction on his character.
Yeah.
I know he didn't say too much like insightful in the promo itself, but maybe, just maybe this should have been before the match. And then we now understand why they call themselves the Righteous, because they think they're right in what they've done so far, is what was, you know, described in this promo. Of still love the Ring of Horror. I don't like the fact if they've given, you know, if they've stopped that and they're not going to call them that anymore. That was brilliant because it's ROH. Onto the main event, which was the Mercenary Flip Gordon of Villain Enterprise at Villain Enterprises against, I called him this, but it could kind of be passed on to a few other people now. The Australian Sensation Slex, business is booming Slex. And once again on Free Enterprise, I thought this was good to really good. But on second viewing, probably with fresh eyes and obviously TV. And I'm sure you'll say this as well, so I won't try and step on your feet too much because I'm a nice guy like that. I don't steal people's ideas. This was superb. You know, I guess at the time with Slex not winning this match, we was like, you've brought in this guy from Australia and you've got him to lose this match, his debut match. But he didn't lose anything by losing this match. He didn't lose anything by losing this match with what they've done for Flip Gordon since. Just perfect all the way around, really, in terms of the match. And we'll talk about everything else afterwards. But, yeah, just really good chemistry for... I'm not sure if they've ever wrestled before, but... they had fantastic chemistry, excuse me. And the only other thing is it's taken him 17 years to be, to my knowledge, on national TV. He looked born for this moment.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I enjoyed it a lot at the time. Thought it was a great, great match. The one thing, like I said on the Free Enterprise review, which really stood out to me as well, was the tail of the tape beforehand, where they were the same height, the same weight. The only thing was the experience. And
you think the experience was Flip Gordon over Slex for 17 years.
And, you know, the fact as well, like I said on the review for Free Enterprise, where the Code of Honor was followed, and you've got, you know, this is the interesting thing about Ring of Honor. What people forget is that although people can be heels, they still will play by the rules and they'll still follow the handshake and the sportsmanship. And, you know, like I was annoyed at the time that Slex didn't win this match because I thought it was the wrong move. But we've seen what happened afterwards, and it was completely the right move. And Slex, you know, he's going to be a big star in the company. I hope he really is able to go far in the company because, you know, I've said on the other podcast before that the Australian and New Zealand market is one which has a ton of great wrestlers there and a ton of great potential. And, you know, seeing guys like Slex and, you know, it makes you realise just, and like Jay White and Travis Banks and Jonah Rock and going on, but you know, it makes you realize just how many great wrestlers are in that continent and at a market which needs to be shown off more. So it's great seeing these guys on it, like you said, on a national stage. And that's what was really great about this as well. It felt like a really feel good moment, especially on the TV episode. You didn't get that at Free Enterprise, but you do on the TV show.
Definitely another match that translated really well on TV, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Another match everyone needs to go out of the way to watch and enjoy. Great.
Yeah, you know, like you said then, he's just perfect for this. And I think what That's what I was trying to say. I think what brought my attention to him was when he called out Kushida Okada to come from Japan to Australia to wrestle him, not to go and wrestle Okada. It's like, whoa, that's some confidence, isn't it? And then the aftermath of that is the Soldiers of Savagery, Moses and Khan, decided to surround the ring, and something's going down when they do that. And then, you know, our guy in Ring of Honor, from a talking perspective, from a talking perspective, only better than Brian Johnson, Shane Taylor, who we had, you know, basically said to Ring of Honor and Joe Koff and anyone that was listening, re-sign this guy.
Yeah.
And he attacks Lex and laid him out. So in this scenario, Slex has a great debut. He loses to a guy on the up, and then he gets taken out by one of the top guys in the company.
Yeah.
So he's a little bit set, isn't he? Mm. Because his next feud's going to be with Shane Taylor.
Yeah.
And that's going to be damn good to watch.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Even though this TV show is a rerun of certain aspects of Free Enterprise, you've got two fantastic matches. Probably watch them in full on Free Enterprise, which should have been made available on YouTube for free, which we stated. But yeah, Honor Club and Fight TV for that, because these two matches are worth the $9.99. Well, what Alex Shelley versus Mark Hastings is worth on its own, and Flip Gordon versus Slex is working on its own, and you've got the two of them plus another eight. Is that eight when it was 10 matches?
Yeah,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was 10. Yeah,
yeah. So, this is a really fun show, good show, quality matches, and you've seen two of them. But yeah, this has been a decent review for us again because we've already seen the matches, but I did make a, approach to watch this with fresh eyes and watch everything on this show. Whereas before, it's like, what did I say on that show? I've got to try and remember. So
listen to it back.
Yeah, yeah.
On SoundCloud, everyone.
Yeah, listen to it back on the Free Enterprise SoundCloud, Free Enterprise Review on SoundCloud, and the Free Enterprise Review on YouTube. So, yep, next up, Stephen's doing the big thumbs up for the audio listeners. So next up, we have a throwback. And because we've done a present star with the ROH Star Spotlight and Overkill Preacher's son, Mark Haskins, the throwback is going to be on a past star. And this guy is teaming with Delirious to take on current... as past stars to take on present stars, the Party Peacock, Dalton Castle, and the prestigious one, Joe Hendry. And this guy is Grizzly Redwood. So we searched the ROH YouTube and we found a six-man tag, which is Grizzly Redwood, Necro Butcher, and Colt Cabana, against the Embassy, the Crown Jewel, Jimmy Rave, Claudio Castagnoli, and Dirty Ernie
Osiris,
isn't it? Yeah. So yeah,
with Prince Nana at ringside.
With Prince Nana, yeah, Nana at ringside. Yes. So we got 5 minutes on the clock for this, and all I have to say about this match is it's a comedy match. Basically, Necro Butcher has no boots on. So that means Grizzly Redwood's got no boots on, which means that Colt Cabana's thinking about having no boots on, and he does it. And then they try to do it to Todd Sinclair, the senior official, and he puts his boot back on. Grizzly Redwood, which we're trying to focus on, because obviously he's in this match for past versus present. Lots of chops to, like, Ricky Steamboat chops, but probably not with as much force. A chop to the head, but then to take away from his character and kind of add to what he can do, he did a jumping, spinning tornado DDT on the outside to Claudio Castagnoli. So he can go. It's just his character. He is, you know, about chopping things down and stuff. So, excuse me. This just comedy, good comedy. And just really, really fun match.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun alternative to the sort of the previous throwbacks we've done, where they've been a lot more serious, technical, or hardcore style. This is the opposite side of Ring of Honor, where it can do the Chikara-esque humor and comedy. Yeah. Six great guys as well in the ring. Several gone on to WWE, Claudio Castagnoli and
Colt Cabana. I had no idea he was in the Embassy.
Yeah, briefly in 2009. Yeah. And this was just at the point when Jimmy Rave was in, just about to leave Ring of Honor as well. And Necro Butcher, obviously, of CZW fame as well. So it was an eclectic time. You know, people forget about it, but a great selection of talent in this match, independent stars. And, you know, I mean, you forget as well, I think, if you. One of the things with Ring of Honor is that, you know, as we've seen on the TV show, six-man tag matches are always really good fun in Ring of Honor, and they're always entertaining to watch. And the crowd were chanting along, you know, with at the Embassy, and, you know, they hated Jimmy Rave. Jimmy Rave has to be one of the best heels in Ring of Honor history, and he's always held that with him. And
Dirty Ernie Osiris, had the toilet paper and was putting it in... Necro Butcher's mouth, maybe.
Yeah, Necro Butcher. Yeah, yeah.
And then he ate somebody's hair.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah.
So ton of fun. Just one
for
of those
for all those people. Like, this is an ROH. Well, 11 years ago, it kind of was. Now, you know when they're saying like it's not the same.
Yeah.
Well, what was this? This was 11 years ago. So.
But yeah, definitely a great showcase as well for Grizzly Redwood. You know, got to see what he can do in terms of the comedy and can do the serious wrestling as well. Yeah. Him and Claudio, I've seen some of their matches, a lot of their matches, and they have great chemistry, and they did do at this point. This is just a great, fun six-man tag match, and short and sweet. Cabana is always entertaining to watch as a comedy wrestler, but also with his technical ability. Yeah. And I love as well how with Colt, he's always able to get everyone involved in the match. He just is able to, you know, whether it be the fans, whether it be his opponents or his partners or the referee, he's just always able to get everyone invested in it and involved.
Yeah, and new AEW signee, Colt Cabana.
Yeah. And he's
wearing a lot of hats. Sorry, Stephen. He's wearing a lot of hats. He's not just the wrestler.
No.
Trainer, announcer. Probably on AEW Dark or something.
Yeah.
He's somebody, you know, we talk about podcasts and we do a podcast. We do a podcast because of Colt Cabana.
Yeah.
So, he opened the door, didn't he?
He did. So, yeah, so a different alternative for the throwback this week, but definitely a good showcase for Grizzly Redwood, who's coming back at Past versus Present. Short and sweet and fun. Go out of your way and watch this one, because it's definitely a different take on Ring of Honor than what you may have seen before.
Yeah. And he finished off with 10 seconds to go. Well done, Steve.
I'm always up to the timing there, you see.
Yeah. I've taught you well. when you're like, oh, I'm going quite close to that 5-minute mark. I think if I start doing this, although that might be misconstrued, it's like you're running out of time here. So, yeah, our next segment, segment number 6, is Women of Honor. And before we get this match talked about, I want to bring everyone's attention to the research that I did. So on the Ring of Honor YouTube channel, on the popular uploads, out of the top 10 videos, 7 of them were featuring women's wrestling. But Ring of Honor shouldn't do women's wrestling.
Yeah.
Including one, which I think I didn't quite get what the match was. I think it was a possibly like a fatal four-way but it had 4 million views, and it featured Hendrix.
Oh, Taylor Hendrix.
Taylor Hendrix, that's the one, yeah. I remember, like, Hail Hendrix and Ring of Hendrix and things of that nature, and I couldn't put a first name. But, yeah, 7 out of 10, women's wrestling, but Ring of Honor shouldn't do women's wrestling. So, what do I know? So going into this, this is from the G1 Supercard, which we will rebook at some point. They actually got to the point where I was going to say, Stephen, should we keep this back? Because, you know, we're rebooking it and stuff. But this was from the pre-show, the kickoff show, I would imagine. Jenny Rose and Oda Tai, but they were never two people, but they were never explained who they were, I don't think. Excuse me. Again, Sumi Sakai, Hana Kimura, and Stella Gray, who I believe was on last week's Ring of Honor. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
So 5 minutes on the clock for this one as we reach the 46-minute mark. Yeah, love the service with a smile, kind of like kick, choke thing between the three women, Oda Tai and Jenny Rose. And just good. All action match, no slow elements to it at all. Stella Gray, and what I love about this as well is like the women are in really, really good wrestling shape.
Yeah,
like, you know, because obviously women are in terms of the media and everything. Is like, oh, you want women to be thin and slim and all this, but they were like, looked like wrestlers, and that was like great to see. It's like, I would imagine like they can eat what they want, kind of thing. It just looked like really healthy women in this match, especially with like Stella Gray. Hopefully, I've explained that right and not stumbled, but I like that. It's just like. You know, they were wrestling and they looked, you know, like they could wrestle and go up against men. She looked like she could go up against a man, no problem. And yeah, just all action. Obviously, they attacked before the bell, Jenny Rose and her tie. And then, yeah, it was in the ring, it was out of the ring. And yeah, just a great match to pump up the crowd once again. I guess women's matches are probably not used for that, but this one did a fantastic job to do that before the G1 Supercard. So,
yeah,
a really quality six women's no, yeah, six women's tag in it. Yeah.
Great fun match. Sumi Sakai. Great as a babyface, for the first time on the ROH. The Women of Honor we've been reviewing, but you know, we've seen her as a babyface on the Ring of Honor review previously. Can do both. She's great as a heel, great as a babyface.
She's better as a heel.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, incredible, there's no question about that. Really like the fact she was wearing attire which was sort of as a throw what's the referencing Hiromu Takahashi, who was injured at the time as well.
Yeah,
I thought that was really cool.
They mentioned that,
which I'd not actually noticed at the time. So that was a cool thing to see. I'd forgotten. Stella Gray is a woman who's really impressing me the more I see of her, definitely.
She was incredible last week.
2 years into her career. It's brilliant. Yeah.
She was incredible last week against Mandy Leon, weren't she?
Yeah. And as you said, you know, this is a match all action, tons of high flying, tons of hard hitting moves, tons of great kicks. Ode Tahai from Stardom had a few matches I saw in 2018 in Ring of Honor, which were always good. They were always great.
Yeah.
This was no different. Jenny Rose is a graduate of the Ring of Honor Dojo, so she's coming through the system and she's great. Mm-hmm. She really, you know, is a strong woman's wrestler. She really, you know, can bring it. And
a feud between her and Stella Gray, I think, would be money.
Yeah, it would.
Just the way, you know, obviously, you know, stature and stuff, similar stature. I would imagine similar technique. You know, sorry, I'm cutting into yours.
That's all right.
Jenny Rose, obviously, the heel, Stella Gray, I reckon she could be like the girl next door, but badass kind of baby face. And Jenny Rose is kind of the evil or sneaky, snidey kind of bitchy kind of character. And I reckon that would be dynamite in the ring.
Absolutely. Some just a great six-man, great chemistry between all six wrestlers. Ton of fun to watch. Great way to pump up the crowd. And I think it was a bold statement as well for Ring of Honor to say that they don't care about women's wrestling, although it was the pre-show, to put the first match on in the Garden, the first time they've been there as a women's match, I think says a lot about the company. So I disagree with people saying that they don't care or that it doesn't matter, in that this is a prime example of that it does. So again, another fun Women of Honor match. And go and watch it.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, New Japan doesn't do women's wrestling, but then they put a Stardom match on the pre-show of Wrestle Kingdom, didn't they?
Yeah, but it was only for the live crowd, not for the stream or anything like that.
Yeah, so with all that being said, we're on to the links and plug section. So first of all, we are proudly hosted by the brilliant Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast team. For Twitter, it's at BBG Wrestling. For the main show, it's at BBGW Pod. For the website, it's BBGWrestling.com. And then in terms of our partnerships and stuff, we have a partnership with PowerSlam.tv. 6,500 hours of professional wrestling plus from 140 plus promotions. Use that for free on us for a month using the code BROKENFREE. And for yourself, Stephen?
Yeah, you can find my work as a member of the Wrestling Estate. So if you search for us on Twitter, we're at the Wrestling EST. I write us various different articles. My most recent article was an interview with David Velasaka, who is the WWN Live social media and digital content producer, which got a lot of positive feedback. And my most recent Ring of Honor related article was a tribute article to the legendary Jushin Thunder Liger, which, as mentioned before, Oliver was really complimentary of.
Very good.
But along, thank you. But along with that, the rest of us at the team cover New Japan, Ring of Honor, WWE, TNA, Impact. And each week we have a weekly newsletter, which goes out on a Saturday. And each week we have a weekly roundtable, which we all take part in. And we all have a different topic. We all have a topic which we answer the questions for. So you can find us at Twitter, at The Wrestling EST, or if you search us on Google, The Wrestling Estate.
Absolutely. And for myself, I'm a three-time professional wrestling author, and my first book, A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, Stephen Owens tells me how great it is.
Brilliant book.
There you go, tell me how great it is. Yeah, I'm saying about this book, even though it's British wrestling, it's got Ring of Honor in it, because I was at the aforementioned Unified in August 2006, and I was in the same hotel as the ROH wrestlers in 2007 and at the Liverpool double shot in March 2007 too. So you can read all about those in this book. For my second book, I'm always hesitant to promote this. I didn't until we did this YouTube show, to be fair. It's not about Ring of Honor per se, but it's about Ring of Honor alumni going into the WWE. So if you're interested in, you know, how AJ Styles debuted in the company, Samoa Joe et al., then, you know, you'll enjoy this book, which is A Fan's Perspective, 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE. And my last book is A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. And in this book, I was at the Orlando Double Shot in 2008. And I took ROH alumni who is returning at least for a special appearance at Past versus Present, my modern day favorite wrestler, Paul London, to the main event and to the World Heavyweight title. I fancy booked him there. Yeah, all three books are available on paperback and Kindle, free on Kindle Unlimited. And if you would like them signed, get in contact with me on my Big Cartel, afansperspective.bigcartel.com. And yeah, just quickly, I'm putting us on the spot here, Stephen, so we have to do it now. Me and Stephen are currently working on a project. We'll give out more information close to the time and stuff, but yeah, we have said we're going to do it. We put it off, so I'm going to put it in here. It's recorded, and then I'm going to bring you back to it and say we said we was going to do this here. So I'm saying we're going to do it, and yeah, we wanted to get together to do a writing project, and this is basically saying this is the beginning of it. Stephen didn't agree to me saying this, but I thought we should, because I think people like to see the progress. So this is week one of this writing project, and we'll keep you up to date with that as we go along. And yeah, partnerships are done. BBG Wrestling. So the last thing we need to say is we are on Twitter at ROH Review, on Instagram at ROH Review, YouTube. It's one of those fiddly kind of numbers, letters thing, which we'll put in the URL. Description. Yeah, yeah. Which we'll put in the description. If you'd like to contact us with comments, feedback, questions, or anything of the wrestling related kind, I'm going to add that in, because you know, people have been connecting with us and saying you're a beneficiary of $5.8 million. Like, really? So yeah, none of those emails, please. That is rohreviewoutlook.com. So yeah, and just once again, what we've got coming up, the ROH reviews Bound by Honor and Gateway to Honor, which will be out this week. The interview that we have for this weekend is with one of my favorite Ring of Honor wrestlers, third favorite behind modern day favorite wrestler Paul London and CM Punk, Hurricane John Walters, who's a one-time ROH Pure Wrestling champion and the second longest in the company's history up until this moment. That's coming out this weekend, ahead of Past versus Present. And you can kind of see and hear what he says about his Past versus Present opponent, Overkill slash Preacher's Son, Mark Haskins. So I hope you'll enjoy that. And then, yeah, the only other thing is we will be previewing the 18th year anniversary show, and that'll be ready for next week ahead of the shows and Past versus Present. And yeah, and then next week we are back with ROH Review episode 18, which Stephen might be flying solo for. How's that for a cliffhanger? So yeah, thank you very much for joining us tonight. With 40 seconds before the hour mark, Stephen, this is what Audacity is for. So you've got to get quickly finish this up. Thank you very much for all the support from the wrestlers, from the fans, from the 10,000 odd listeners on SoundCloud, from the 300 odd viewers on YouTube. It's been fantastic. It's been a great 17 weeks, and you know, we'll continue on from here. And we've 10 seconds to go. Thank you very much, everyone, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, everyone. See you later.
Okay, bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.